So was anybody visited by something frightening last night? By ghosts or by goblins? Or trick-or-treaters wearing Bernie Madoff masks? Or were there any embers of the devil burning in the jack-o'-the-lanterns on your front porch? For centuries this past night that we spent, what we have come to know as Halloween, derived from the Christian vigil called All Hallows' Even, has been a night layered with meaning. For instance, some of these practices come from the early pagan worship of the British Isles from a Celtic ceremony called Samhain. In this festival, which marked the new year and the start of winter, the Celts believed that there existed for that time a thin veil between this world and the next. And to protect themselves against these evil spirits, the witches, the goblins, and ghosts that might rise that night to wander the earth, among other things, they wore masks so as to disguise themselves and remain safe. And later, Irish folklore entered the night with the story of a farmer named Jack. And if you've already heard this one, don't stop me. Apparently, Jack did nothing to help his fellow farmers and was tricky enough to outsmart the devil on a couple of occasions. But the story goes that when death finally came to Jack, he was not welcomed at the pearly gates or those of Hades, and was left to wander the world having carved a turnip into a lantern and stolen an ember from the devil himself. Hence, Jack of the Lantern, or Jack-o'-lantern. This too became a practice of this night, to ward off evil spirits lurking about in the dark. Now, it doesn't take too much imagination to recognize the genesis of these customs. Even though much of our current experience of this time of year is a pastiche of both cultural and religious traditions, it all points towards an existential end, accompanied often by a sense of fear. Beneath this fear, it seems to me, is the root of many of these practices, ancient and contemporary, that range from Mexico to Ireland to Poland, and it is a longing to experience that liminal space, the threshold between this life and what is to follow. This desire or this sense for this space is not unique to Christianity, to paganism, or to any other religious tradition. We, as finite human beings, we all come to this place of wondering about death, about those who have died before us, about ourselves, about those who will go after us. For some cultures, this is a very dark encounter, as can be witnessed to in many ways on Halloween. In this culture especially, we have an incredibly unhealthy denial of death. Our witness, friends, is not to denial or to the darkness, however. Our witness is to a light that shines even in the darkest of nights. And it is our scripture this morning that points us in this direction, from wisdom's declaration that the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, to Revelation's vision that death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. To the dramatic raising of Lazarus, our holy word speaks yet again of good news. And like many of our stories from John's Gospel, this morning our passage shows both a literal meaning, this raising of Lazarus from the dead, as well as a symbolic meaning of a resurrection for all of the beloved. The raising of Lazarus makes clear the reality that physical death awaits. Even those loved by Jesus must die. Lazarus, raised in this story, will die again. But through this miracle, Jesus also shows a more powerful truth. By raising Lazarus, he shows that death does not have the ultimate power that we fear so deeply, that our suffering will not separate us from God. Death may still be real, but its bonds have been broken once and for all. It is no mistake that as our days grow longer, as our season shifts, we encounter this three-day feast, that of All Hallows' Eve, All Saints' Day, and All Souls' Day. And even though our celebration of these days has come about in very different centuries, as the church celebrated All Saints' Day first in May as early as the 4th century, All Souls' Day around the 11th century, and All Hallows' Eve in various forms along the way, these three were brought together in part by the church to reinterpret the pagan festivals of the dead at this time of year. Possibly because of this, they share a common reflection of another hallowed time, of other days set apart, that of Holy Week. Because just as Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter tell the story of the Paschal mystery, these 3 days for Christians, dark as they may seem to others, for us must be seen in that same light, that of the resurrection of Christ. At the heart of All Hallows' Eve, All Saints' Day, and All Souls' Day is a manifestation of the Paschal mystery, a real and tangible way for us to enter into communion with those who have gone before, those present today, and if we are paying attention, those yet to come. So it is entirely appropriate that this morning we come for a baptism. One of our clearest expressions of this mystery that we enter into as followers of the Christ, that of the Pascha, or the Passover from death into life. Because when we drill down to the fundament, to the bedrock of what we will practice today with Miriam, Donna, Jocelyn, Siemiatkowski, when we are honest with ourselves, this is what we come face to face with. A journey across that threshold. From the words that we will use in a few moments found in the Thanksgiving over the water in the Book of Common Prayer. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. This is why the earliest baptisms, as well as many today, look much different from what is often practiced in many ordered Episcopal churches. In those baptisms of the early Christians, indeed in our scriptural account of Jesus's, as our song tells us, one waded in the water. That's right, you got in deep. This wasn't done with a silver shell. And the one who was baptized was plunged underwater, disappearing from sight, buried. It was as if they had died. Unfortunately, in our cultural understanding of death, especially seen in Halloween, I believe that this is where many people remain, buried under that proverbial water, or to use the image from our gospel, still bound with strips of cloth. But folks, for us, this is not the end. Our story today points us in a very different direction. Death is not God's wish for the creation. And because of this, our prayer over the baptismal water continues. By it, meaning this water of baptism, by it we share in his resurrection. And out from under the water we rise, no longer bound by death, but born again to life eternal. All saints, all souls of God are risen to this new life. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, we share in this resurrection. Not that there won't be pain or difficulty or suffering or even death, but that through Christ's resurrection, our understanding of life is greater yet than all of that. And this makes all the difference in how we live. For we would be missing the point if we only thought of the end, inasmuch as our culture would have us believe. Because the resurrection is not just about our inevitable death. It is also about every day of life that remains. Our baptism should not be reserved for our deathbed. Indeed, it should be the life spring of every moment of our lives. Parents, godparents, family of Miriam Donna, this needs to be the case. We cannot, as one scholar has said, preach about death and resurrection in the time of death only, but shy away from such topics in the midst of life. It is in the everyday rhythms of life that we need most to talk about Jesus' power as the resurrection and the life, so that death can indeed lose its sting. To proclaim the power of resurrection only at the time of death is both to impoverish the proclamation and weaken the power of its witness in the face of death. Halloween, All Saints' Day, All Souls' Day. This Wednesday, the Thursday after that, all of our days are days that we must proclaim and live into this resurrection. The baptismal covenant with its five questions can direct us in the way. But it is for us to know that this way leads to life. We must tell this world that even in the darkest of nights, there is this light. That even when we mourn those who have left this earth, often before we are ready, we can come with this assurance to these days to remember, to celebrate because of this light. And so, this day especially, but for all our days, may we remember the ancient words of the Kantakion heard at the start of this service. For so did you ordain when you created me, saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.